Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination into the life of Elijah and some various corollary stories that we see. And we're in 1 Kings 22, one of the most important passages in Scripture. It really is. And again, this is stuff that I'm just beginning to learn the last couple of years and some things I'm beginning to see and some things I'm beginning to understand. So let me recount what happened in the first 8 verses that we saw in the last episode. The king of the north, Ahab, okay, the king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat were meeting. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, had come up, and it was 3 years past the time when peace had begun. So it had been peaceful for 3 years. The king of Israel had said to his servants, you know, that land of Ramoth-Gilead really belongs to us. We need to go take it. And he looked at Jehoshaphat, and he said, hey, will you go with me? And Jehoshaphat said, yeah, I and my people are your people. My house is your house. My horse is your horses, okay? But Jehoshaphat said this, before we do this, let's inquire of the Lord first. So the king of Israel, Ahab, gathered all of his prophets. There were 400 prophets, and all of them said the same thing. Yeah, baby, go on up. The Lord is going to give you victory, okay? The hand of that king will be defeated. But then Jehoshaphat looked at King Ahab and said, is there not yet a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? That's verse 7 of 1 Kings 22. In other words, they knew that what these 400 prophets were saying was not of the Lord. They knew it was a bunch of bull. You know what? It may be true, but they didn't know. And so Jehoshaphat says, hey, is there really not a real prophet of the Lord around here? Tell you what, folks, I feel like that sometimes. You know, when you hear people preaching, when you hear people teaching, when you hear all this stuff and all this, you think, is there really anybody who's going to be a prophet of the Lord? Remember, prophet, to speak forth the truth of the Lord, to speak forth the word of the Lord, to speak forth the mind of the Lord. Is there anybody that does that? Well, yes, there is. But a lot of times they're not in the pulpit. So that's our problem. We think that it's only going to be in the pulpit. No. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 12? He said, man, I wish you all would prophesy. So anyway, Jehoshaphat asked that. Then the king comes back, verse 8. This is hilarious. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, okay, there's yet one man about whom we may inquire the Lord, but I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. He is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. But Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. In other words, hey, don't say that. Let's see what happens. So verse 9, we pick it up. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, bring quickly Micaiah, son of Imlah. So they sent somebody to fetch him. Verse 10. Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting each on his throne, arrayed in their robes at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets were prophesying before them. And so here are these two kings, and they're sitting there in all their kingly splendor. They're out there al fresco, okay? They're out there on the outside. They're at the threshing floor, this flat area, at the entrance of Samaria. They're on the thrones. Man, they got on their robes and everything. Everybody's amazed. And the prophets are out there putting on a show, okay? They're prophesying before them. Verse 11, then Zedekiah, the son of Kenai, made horns of iron for himself and said, thus says the Lord, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are consumed. So you got this one prophet, Zedekiah here, and he gets horns. He makes horns of iron for himself. So he grabs two pieces of iron, and he acts like they're horns. He puts them on his head, and he starts goring around like a wild bull would. And he said, with these you will gore the Arameans. Okay? So he's prophesying that way. Verse 12, all the prophets were prophesying, thus saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the kings. So every one of them were saying that, yes, he'd be victorious. And you say, well, is that necessarily bad? No, not necessarily. It's good to have affirmation, okay? It's good to be verified. It's good to have a common word. But let me tell you what, it can also be deceptive. And, you know, generally speaking, and I remember one of the first things I ever wrote and put on the internet, and this is like 25, 26 years ago, back when it would take you 10 minutes to download a page on the internet, was a thing called the masses. And the bottom line is this, when you see the scripture and you see what you, for the most part, the masses are wrong. Okay. When a large group says, yeah, this is it. Generally speaking, they're wrong. So you got a large group of prophets, and they're all saying this same thing, okay? Now listen to verse 13. Then the messenger who went to summon Micaiah spoke to him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets are uniformly favorable to the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably. So the guy that was sent to fix this prophet always spoke negative words about King Ahab, is saying this, hey, here's what all the other prophets are saying. They're all for it. So when you get there, will you please let your word be like that? Now, why in the world would this servant even care? Why would this messenger even care? Well, he would care because if he brings back Micaiah and he speaks a different word and the king is mad and the king is angry, more than likely he's going to lop off the head of the messenger. He's mad. He's going to take it out on somebody. And the messenger knew this. Well, verse 14, but Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I shall speak. So he's a prophet of the Lord, and he's saying, I'm only going to speak what the Lord tells me to speak. Well, that's what you would hope that a prophet of the Lord, someone who speaks forth the word of the Lord, you want them to speak the word of the Lord, not their mind, not what somebody wants to hear, not what we see in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, where in the last days that people will gather unto themselves teachers that will tickle their ears. Are we not there? Now, verse 15. When he came to the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain? And so Micaiah answered him, said, yeah, go up, succeed, and the Lord will give it into the hands of the king. Yeah, go up, do it. Yeah, you're going to succeed. Go right ahead. Yeah. So you think, well, that's great. That's wonderful, right? Well, you can tell with my tone of voice and inflection, I'm being a little facetious here because I think he was too. Because watch what happened. Verse 16 says this. Then the king said to him, how many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? So the king knew that he was being flippant with him. The king knew that he was just parroting what the other 400 prophets had said. And the king was put out with it. He said, hey, how many times have I told you that this is going to, that you need to speak the truth to me? And it said, so verse 17. So he, and this is the prophet, said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each of them return to his house in peace. And then we're going to close with this last verse. We'll continue the story in the next episode. Verse 18, 1 Kings 22. Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? So what did he prophesy? He prophesied. He said, here, I saw this. I saw Israel scattered on the mountains. They were like sheep that didn't have a shepherd. And the Lord said to them, they don't have a master. Let them go back to their house in peace. He's prophesying that Ahab's going to be killed. He's prophesying that he's going to go forth in this battle and that he's going to be killed, but that the people would return back and would do so in peace. Ahab understood it because he looked at Jehoshaphat and said, didn't I tell you, every time this guy prophesies something over me, it's never good. It's always evil. Now, let me tell you, verse 19 is where this gets really, really, really interesting. Okay? And it's where some things will give us, it'll give us insight into God and the way he functions and what he does things that you've likely never seen before. I mean, it really is that level, okay? But I'm out of time, so we'll have to do it the next time, okay? 1 Kings 22, go ahead and read it. Before you lay down upon your nightbed, read 1 Kings 22. I think you'll be amazed at what you see. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. As always, please share about these times with everybody, with your friends, your family, your enemies, and just show them how to do the podcast and gather them together. Also, go to my website. You can find the podcast there. You can find a daily blog there. You can find a weekly Bible study. I just put a new Bible study on there that we did last night. In Hebrews. I think you will enjoy that. And also, it's a place there where you can help support all these times if the Lord moves upon your heart. See you next time. Goodbye.